Hart here with another episode of the Positude Podcast. How's everybody doing this week? Boy, 2026 is starting out hard and heavy, isn't it? It's peak informational chaos. I should have known the other day when I woke up to somewhat balmy temperatures for this time of year where I could actually go outside in a hoodie and not freeze parts of me off. And then we were blessed by some rain which melted just about all the snow away that the news, witches, wizards, and warlocks would conjure up a storm of a different type. And this one was absolutely manifested to make our blood boil, to cause even more dissension, to further try and separate the masses, and to construct another snow globe for the snowflakes to shake them up, get them foaming at the mouth like rabid hamsters, and have them scurry into the nearest Dollar Tree to get some new poster board and markers for their new signs, for their new protest, for the new martyr. But before we get into all that, grab your beverage, and after the week that I've had, I've got a cup of coffee and a half a glass of wine. I'm still trying to cut back from the holidays, so no snacky snack for me tonight, but hopefully you've got something great to enjoy. Slip into your comfy clothes, hop up into your comfy spot, kick back, take a deep breath, and let's get started. Now, before we get into the clippies, I am going to give you a quick exercise, and I'm going to give you some background as to why I'm giving you this exercise. But the good part is, since you're already comfy, you can stay seated for this one. So I'm thinking partially because all of the negativity that swirled itself into the new year because of the media stuff that's been going on, partially because people are reeling from the loss of people in their lives that have woken up and decided that they want to do something better for themselves, and they just don't want to deal with the drama or the narcissism or the people that just take advantage of them over and over again. So they're separated, and the person that's gotten separated is feeling the hit and is looking for a new victim to feel sorry for them. Or victims, they're looking for attention. So I'm going to give you a couple to a few scenarios of people that I've encountered either on social media, in my professional or personal life, and some of their behaviors. And then I'm going to show you how to get past that if you're having the same type situations with people. The first one is someone that I've known both personally and professionally for a lot of years and only chooses to interact when there's some form of trauma or upset that's been part of a repeated pattern of what you may call abuse that only seeks me out for counseling, for sympathy, for empathy. And over the years, I've repeatedly offered many different scenarios to be able to help that person to stop the cycle and change their life for the better. But see, the problem is I don't sugarcoat. What's the definition of insanity? Well, it's doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result. When we deal with these situations as a healer, eventually, if you're telling the person the same thing over and over and they're not doing anything to change their life, they're not doing the work, and they just want to talk to you to have sympathy, you have to come to a conclusion where enough is enough. If they're not going to help themselves, you can't help them. You can pray for them, but you have to draw that line and say no more. You've taught them to fish, but you can't make them pick up the pole. Because they're not getting the response that they want from you, and they're not getting the sympathy, they may go into an endless loop, a cycle, where now they're going to reach out to somebody else that they haven't talked to in a while and see if they can get sympathy or empathy from that person. And this person, I distinctly feel, has contacted a psychic, as well as reached out to other people that they feel will extend the sympathy and the empathy that they think that they need because they're not changing their own circumstances in their own life. So one or more of the other people and the psychic are telling them what they want to hear, but it's not the truth. But in order to be able to avoid having to take responsibility for their actions, it's the easy way out because those people are telling them what they want to hear. And they're partially too embarrassed to come to you and say, look, this is what I did, because in my case, this person knows that I've clearly set my boundaries and also that I wouldn't approve of their decisions that they're making, but they'll find out eventually when it all blows up in their face. Again, if you have somebody like that in your life, just pray for them and we'll talk about how to fix that later. The second scenario is a classic narcissist who wants the world to think they're the hero, they're the good guy, they're the one who never does anything wrong, and they're constantly being slighted, and people are rushing to make judgments about them that are erroneous in nature because they couldn't possibly be that person because they're such a good guy. Now, deep down, this person knows that they haven't done the nicest or the most upright of things, and they know that they didn't handle things the best way that they could have, but you know what? It's easier to blame somebody else, and they're still not at the point where they want to take responsibility for their actions. So here again, another attention seeker, but a different flavor a little bit. They're just gonna post a story about how wonderful they are and how not to make judgments about people because you don't know what else they've gone through and you don't know what they've been through and yada yada. And they're just looking for that attention hit and that dopamine hit with the little likes, comments, oh, you're such a good person. And it helps to soothe their underlying guilt and makes it easier for them to carry on their facade for a little while longer. It's that participation trophy. Now, the next one has been married for about 20 years. And while I'll admit, has suffered emotional and physical traumas that are legitimate. In those 20 years, has treated their partner like a possession. The partner was a lot younger, and this person helped to mold and shape their lives and essentially brainwashed the younger one into thinking that the way that they were being treated was normal and healthy, but it wasn't. It was toxic. As the partner developed maturity, read books, talked to friends, and realized, wait, this isn't healthy at all, they tried. They tried to fix their marriage. They tried to make it work. But the partner, who was a narcissist, refused to change and constantly guilted this person into staying for many years more than they should have. So recently, that person decided finally to step out, to leave, to discover their own identity and have a real chance at being happy rather than being controlled. In true narcissistic fashion, the older partner has done nothing but try to obliterate the younger ex-partner's newfound confidence and taken every single opportunity to publicly pronounce not only how they are the poor victim in this scenario, but to make a highly concentrated effort to not only alienate that person from all of their other family and friends, but to engage in an all-out character assassination that is not only unjust and unfounded, it's extremely hateful and hurtful. This, mind you, coming from a person who is absolutely desecrated, they claim, from the loss of the partner that they've loved with all of their heart for 20 years. So I bet each of you could find a parallel in one, if not all, of those situations with someone that you have encountered, had a relationship with, maybe a family member or friend, and need a little assistance in healing your nervous system and your sanity. Because dealing with professional victims in the wild is spiritual cardio. So here's a 5-minute reset protocol that you can do anytime somebody starts performing their wounded hero opera. The first thing that you want to do to disengage from narcissistic victim energy, to reclaim your clarity and stop their emotional hooks from hijacking your mind. And this isn't about being cold. It's about being so grounded that they can't feed on you, is pattern recognition. So you're going to sit still, relax your jaw, and say quietly in your mind, this is a pattern, not a person. And then recall one recent moment where that person either played the victim, broadcast their pain publicly, framed themselves as morally superior, or took zero responsibility. They're not asking to be understood. They're asking to be validated without being accountable. Once you see that, that spell weakens. The next one is the mirror test. Visualize them in front of you. Imagine you holding up a giant mirror, and whatever they say, everybody's against me, I'm so mistreated, I'm such a good person, the mirror simply reflects it back. They see themselves, but not you. This is how narcissistic victim types operate. They talk at people, but not with them. You don't argue with a mirror. You stop standing in front of it. Next, you put up an emotional firewall. Put one hand on your chest and say, your story is not my nervous system. Victim performers flood the room with guilt, urgency, outrage, pity. That's not communication. It's emotional hacking. And now imagine a soft blue field around you. It lets in information, but blocks manipulation. You can hear them without absorbing them in their energy. Then you do a narcissist decoder. How to spot it instantly. A real victim would ask, can you help me understand? Whereas a narcissistic victim asks, why aren't you agreeing with me? Or they indicate that. If somebody can't tolerate a nuance, accept partial responsibility, somebody needs everybody to take their side, turns criticism into persecution, you're not in a conversation, you're in a PR campaign. Let that sink in a minute. Then you want to take back your reality. Take one slow breath and say, I choose truth over theatrics. These people thrive on attention, emotional reactions, moral superiority. Starve them out. Stay neutral. Don't explain yourself. Don't defend yourself. And don't correct publicly. Silence is kryptonite to narcissistic victimhood. These victims, performers, use your empathy as their energy source. When you observe instead of engaging, when you ground instead of arguing, when you witness instead of rescuing, they lose the stage. And suddenly, they don't have anything to perform on. I can give you a quick sentence to use anytime one of these professional victims is fishing for sympathy or control. Just say, I hear that you're upset, but I'm not taking responsibility for a story that isn't mine. Or, I understand that you're upset, but I can't take responsibility for something that I don't have control over. If you want to soften it up a bit, you can say something like, I care about you, but I'm stepping out of this narrative. If it's a social media scenario where you don't talk to the person a lot in person, but you see a lot of their posts, just don't respond. Ignore it. Snooze them for 30 days. And when you do speak, if they casually, nonchalantly ask you, well, didn't you see that on my Facebook? No, I've been staying off of Facebook. And so if they want to tell you the whole story in person or over the phone, make an excuse to get off the phone. Don't even engage. Don't give them time to get it out. For whatever reason, if you've been stuck in that person's company and you need a detox, shake it out for a minute. Literally, shake your hands, your arms, your shoulders. Victim energy sits in your nervous system, not in your mind. You're clearing residual emotional static. Sounds nuts, but it works. Then cut the ethereal cord. Close your eyes, visualize a cord between you and them. Usually I do from heart to heart. And now imagine cutting it with a pair of scissors or unplugging it if you're picturing like a wall socket. And say, your emotions go back to you and mine come back to me. Take 3 slow breaths. Take a longer exhale than an inhale. That sends the message to your vagus nerve that you're safe. You're not in drama. If it's been a long day or you're stressed out and you feel yourself kind of spiraling, do a reality anchor. Look around your room, wherever you're at, and name 5 things you can see, 3 things that you hear, and 1 thing you can feel. This pulls you out of their story and back into reality, into your world. And then release the emotional contract. Seal it. Say, I release emotional contracts that were never mine to sign. And then I want you to move around a little bit. Walk, get up, get a drink, stretch. Motion locks that reset in. This type of personality doesn't control people through power. They control through emotional gravity. So once you stop orbiting, they lose their pull. This type does not go after weak people. They go after the empaths that are aware, that are perceptive. The people who see beneath masks and feel the emotional shifts. That's food to them. So to go invisible, become emotionally boring. It's a nuclear weapon. They want your reaction, your validation, your arguments, your rescuing. You give them neutral calm. Not cold. Don't be mean. Just flat. Okay. Yep. I hear ya. No big energetic feelings means no supply for them. Don't ever explain yourself. That's blood in the water. The moment that you justify, defend, or over-clarify, they feel like they're in control. Just use short statements. I'm not available for this. That doesn't work for me. I'm stepping away. I need to take a break. No essays. You don't need to give them an emotional autobiography. Just get out. Stay out of their narrative. They'll put you in roles. Villain, savior, judge, enemy. You're just going to say, I'm not accepting any of those roles. You don't argue the story. You exit the stage. Don't validate feelings without validating lies. The bad way to handle this would be to say, I see why you'd feel betrayed. The right way to handle it would be to say, I see you're hurting. One endorses that story, the other doesn't. And keep your center full. People who play the victim target people who are empathetic, helpful, intuitive, spiritually sensitive. So fill your own cup. Make sure you're getting enough sleep, food, nature, quiet, laughter. A full nervous system is not easy to invade. Watch how they react to boundaries. That's the biggest tell. A healthy person will say, okay, I can respect that. A narcissistic victim will cry, attack, guilt, perform, smear, go into a silent mope. Boundaries expose them faster than any argument ever could. Trust that subtle discomfort. Your body knows before your mind does. If somebody makes you feel drained, foggy, guilty, tense, small, that's not intuition being dramatic. That's pattern recognition. Narcissistic victim types cannot attach to people who are calm, clear, emotionally contained, that don't need to argue with stories. They need chaos to feed. When you become still, they look someplace else. And honestly, that's your real peace. And if they keep trying and just don't give up, I'll give you one that the books don't tell you about that I've used before, and it's worked for me every single time like a charm. When they contact you, turn the tables. Blather about your day and all of your problems and what you're going through and how busy you are and make them wait. Hang on, I gotta do something. Sorry, I wanna talk to you, but hang on. And make them wait. They'll get it. They'll feel like, wait a minute, I'm not important. They're not listening to me. They're taking control of the situation and telling me all about their problems. That's not what I want to hear. Because, see, that's not a healthy relationship. It's supposed to be, in their mind, one-sided. They're feeding off of your energy. And so if you don't allow that and they keep being persistent and you turn the tables and reflect and mirror the same type of behavior toward them that they've shown toward you, well, watch and see when they call you again. It'll be a while. When two people care about each other and they're in a healthy relationship, whether it be a personal relationship, a friend relationship, or a casual acquaintance, or family member, they're going to allow you the opportunity to vent and talk about your day as well as their problems, but they're going to truly listen. And you're each going to together contribute what you have to the conversation to make the other person feel better and support them. If it's one-sided all the time, go back and listen to this exercise again. Let's get into our clippies and I'll refill my coffee. There's a really enthusiastic girl online who's praising people for shooting at ICE agents. Now, I'm not going to pretend shooting at federal agents is a hobby. It's not a sport. It's not cosplay. It's a felony with bad tax consequences. And this girl, wow, she's out there like, I support violence against ICE. Huh. The internet's like, let's school her on felony codes while she cheers with emojis. It's kind of like discovering somebody figuring out gravity for the first time by falling off the couch. Not me, I've still got a quarter of a glass of wine left. Then, of course, we have the genius protester on record telling a reporter she's literally getting paid to protest. Who paid her? Jeez, I wonder. Did they hand her a Starbucks gift card? Did she sign a W-2 that says professional protester? I mean, come on, we've all seen the ads for paid actors for some of these false flag scenarios. What does this job posting say? Wanted, human megaphone, must own muck boots, and do a feeble imitation of Randy Macho Man Savage?
But if I ever see you in the ring, I can beat you, don't you know? Yeah!
And of course, coincidentally, when all of this shooting stuff goes down, it's right in the midst of a Tim Walz scandal. What a coincidence. There's a claim that he gave a Somali gang $250 million for some fake charity thing that was supposed to feed kids, but they stole it. And people are like, Walz knows he can't win the election, so he dropped out, which, okay, big claim out here. Man's running campaign ads one day, fielding protests the next, but he'd have you believe his biggest source of concern was for the American people, not the fact that people are driving past his house and calling him names, which hurts his feelings. Okay, Timmy boy, tell that to the single mom that's looking for a daycare provider and drives up to one of your Somali facilities only to find out that it's emptier than a mall built in the 80s. Sounds like Timmy is a victim of suburban anxiety.
The donga need food.
And then we got Mondami telling New Yorkers that raising taxes will improve everybody's quality of life. So let me get this straight. You tax people more, people have less money, but somehow they're happier. That's not public policy. That's financial Stockholm syndrome. And now he's threatening to take houses from slumlords who don't fix them. Listen, I'm all for accountability, and that sounds really noble until you realize that New York City is literally in charge of some of the worst housing projects in America. The government is like, fix your building or we'll take it. But meanwhile, the city-run buildings have mold, leaks, rats, elevators that haven't worked since Obama's first term. Fix your houses first. You can't shame slumlords when you are the slumlord. But of course, Mondami, who comes from rich stock, wouldn't know anything about that any more than his new tenant director, who says property ownership is white privilege while her mom has a $1.5 million mansion down in Tennessee. And when asked about it, she breaks into tears. Bro, that's like crying about calories while eating a six-course meal. If you're gonna say homeownership is privilege, cool. But crying about it while sitting on a mountaintop of money is just peak optics failure. Gen Xers all over America are throwing her the same shade. Yo mama. Should be giving up her home then. And Charlie's widow, Erica Kirk, has made headlines again. This time, though, a video surfaces of her briefing national security people about power grids and EMP attacks. And everybody's like, how the hell did she get in that room? Great question. Maybe because mom and dad know somebody? That's not expertise, that's elite networking. And that's how half the country is run. Not by brains, by brunch.
On me, would you have any gray poupon?
All right, the first triple shot of clippies that I have is from Just Fed Up, Brown Rock Legal, and you're gonna love the one I have from MTTM Media.
Maybe it's kindness, maybe it's grace, maybe it's just staying out of their face. But you can't win a fight with crazy glue, and you sure can't argue with the fool or two.
Do you have a job?
Shame! I'm getting hit right now!
Americans have finally decided to start using the Second Amendment against ICE agents in Chicago. In the Southwest Side, multiple shots were fired at ICE agents as they were taking away a young woman in her 20s. An angry crowd gathered and people demanded for her release. When ICE agents refused, of course, as they do, shots were fired at them, as is an American Second Amendment right. I'm sorry, but you're not allowed to kidnap people in an unmarked vehicle with masks on, completely unidentified, in front of an entire neighborhood of people and expect nobody to say, Chicago doesn't come to play.
Filmed it all, cheered him on, now they're both internet famous for getting it wrong. I don't hold a grudge, I don't curse their name, but you can't fix stupid, so who's to blame?
You know, guy, thank you for working so hard so I can be home all day free. I can use my EBT all day, and you work all day. You know, guy, thank you for working so hard so I can be home all day free. I can use my EBT. Go to work for me, white boy, white girl. Yeah, go to work for me, white animals. Work for me. Yeah, you work for me. And the U.S. government is the. They work for me. All of you work for me. Now go to work. Pay them taxes. Take care of me and my people. All right? This is my land. I control this place. This is my reality. You all gonna be in chain. I'm gonna lock all you guys up if you don't pay your taxes.
You can pray, you can beg, you can even plead, but stubborn don't listen. They'll climb that fence, they'll touch that wire, they'll fan the flames of their own fire. Yeah, you can patch a room in a heart that's ripped, but you can't fix stupid, it's factory equipped.
This next block, I've got four clippies for you from Jesse Primetime, Real News For Now, Gain For Value, and 1776, QQQQ.
My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at Maggie_HEART at Outlook.com to get it fixed.
As governor, Walz led a gang of politically connected Somali fraudsters steal $250 million of your money. It was the single biggest COVID scam in American history. During the pandemic, a nonprofit in Minnesota, Feeding Our Future, got $250 million to send food to needy kids. Sounds good, right? Here's the problem. Almost none of it was used for food. The Somali scammers blew our cash on real estate, cars, extravagant get trips. We have wire transfers that show thousands going to car dealerships. $160,000 went to some company in China. And $500,000 was sent to Kenya to buy an apartment. Our tax dollars weren't just used on goodies. The politicians got a taste too. Ilhan Omar got thousands of dollars in donations from some of the scammers. Well, early on, Walz's administration thought it looked a little suspicious, so they froze the funds. Then the Somalis sued and called Walz racist, so he kept letting them steal. They didn't bother to crack into the bank accounts or issue subpoenas. Walz just put his hands in the air and said, "I'm not racist. Take whatever you want." Walz even gave one of the fraudsters the Minnesota Outstanding Refugee Award. 3 years later, she was indicted.
Major breaking political news out of St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Tim Walz will not seek re-election as governor, and what a fall from grace this has been for him. You might recall, in the spring of 2023, he pushed through several progressive ideas to the state legislature that caught the attention of Barack Obama, who went to Twitter to give his endorsement for the programs, which eventually caught the attention of people like Kamala Harris, who chose him to be her running mate as the vice president. Introduced in Chicago at the convention in August of last year, a debate that was an absolute disaster with J.D. Vance at one point called himself a knucklehead. But after reportedly billions of dollars have been stolen from taxpayers by way of the state of Minnesota, Tim Walz says he will not seek a third term. What a remarkable 2 years in the national spotlight has been for him.
This is a warning. Listen.
Order to prepare the Minnesota National Guard. We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops. They're teachers in your community. They're business owners. They're construction professionals. They are Minnesotans. Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait. We will continue to update you, Minnesota, as we get more information.
The governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, is referring to what happened earlier today with an ICE agent. I am not going to show the video, but what I'm going to say is after watching it, you can clearly see the lady was about to run over the ICE agent. In response, the agent took out his gun, fired at the lady, I believe, once or twice, which later she was announced to be deceased. Let's be honest, anybody's reaction would have been the same as the ICE agent. And you can clearly see the agent fire the front window. As you guys know, the Democrats are trying to paint a different narrative to get the Democrats, the liberals, all riled up. This is a big distraction. Do not be fooled, because America is finally getting exposed. You are witnessing the downfall of America, and this is good, because as an American, finally people are waking up to the truth. My opinion, the ICE agent responded just like anybody else would. This is justified. You are putting a police in danger. It seems like today people don't have common sense.
He had a theory. Even a trip to the bank can be exciting if you wear a ski mask.
He would say that often?
Almost as often as he'd say, "Don't shoot."
Captain Cornbread, combat veteran. Why you out there crying because people driving by your house saying the R word, bro? Ain't you the same dude that got on camera with your Walmart brand tough guy face talking about how you was gonna beat people up? So what happened? Where's that same energy at now? Your voice changed real quick, didn't it? Whole chest collapsed like a folding chair at a family reunion. Let's keep it all the way factual, since y'all like fact-checking everything but yourselves. Y'all the same ones that throw out labels that actually put targets on people's backs. Domestic extremists, threats to democracy, white supremacists, dangerous radicals. Y'all toss it around like Skittles at a pride parade. And those words get people fired, swatted, assaulted, and straight up killed. We seen that earlier this year. And now you upset because somebody yelled "Reaper" out a car window? Be serious. The same party that spent 4 years calling half the country Nazis suddenly needs a safe space because Timmy got his little boo-boo feelings bruised? You were Mr. Macho Man Tough Talk when you thought half the internet was your sparring partner. But now a drive-by shot got your head tight. Nah, keep that same energy. I don't want to hear about words being dangerous from the side that weaponizes language like a fucking slot machine in Vegas. You dish it, you own it. You set the rules. Now you're mad that the rules spun back and smacked you in the lips? Yeah, by the way, calling out hypocrisy ain't an opinion. It's a documented pattern with 100% accuracy rate. When we say something, domestic terrorism, investigation. When you say something, passionate political rhetoric. When y'all get insulted, threat to democracy. When we get doxxed, fired, attacked, or labeled, oops, thoughts and prayers. Tim, my guy, if you want to play the tough, I'll beat people up character, cool. But don't go full toddler. Just because someone didn't use the government-approved vocabulary outside your driveway. That's not intimidation. That's karma doing donuts on your lawn. Cry louder, Timmy. Because the only thing more fragile than your ego right now is the double standard that you built it on. Yep. Find me the world's smallest violin.
What I did there, Walls, Tim Walls.
The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the host and possibly her pets, who occasionally walk across the keyboard, jingle their collars, drink some water when they can't steal mom's coffee, growl while wrestling with their siblings, and even snore at high volumes when they feel slighted and are bored. Any resemblance to actual facts is purely coincidental, and this show is solely for entertainment purposes only. Wink, wink, nod, nod. While every effort has been made to ensure accuracy, sometimes our brains run on coffee and wishful thinking and possibly a conspiracy theory or two. This broadcast may contain traces of sarcasm, bad puns, and music to make you dance. Side effects may include spontaneous laughter, eyebrow raises, and the uncontrollable urge to sing along. Listen responsibly.
And for your listening enjoyment, another quadruple shot. This one from Leet Rink, Joey Vantis, Kasarth, a.k.a. Hooja, and Tall Guy Tycoon. The last one is a clip from the show of Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. These are a few different perspectives on what could be happening behind the scenes.
Do geniuses think this was about drugs or even oil? I mean, you actually believe we seized Nicolas Maduro just because of cocaine? Maybe you should put down the pipe. Most people complaining about this move wouldn't know a global power play if Amazon delivered a Soviet tank to their porch. Legacy media has you so twisted up, you're not just defending a dictator who turned Latin America's wealthiest country into a starved failed state. You're missing the real threat to America, namely Russia and China and Iran, quietly building a forward operating base right under our noses and right in our backyard. This isn't about some state-sponsored gang moving dope, and it's not about America wanting more oil. We've got all that we need. This is about America's three most dangerous enemies, the new axis of evil, joining forces to create a launchpad for chaos a mere 1,200 miles from our southern border. You should have heard by now that Venezuela has the world's largest oil bank, with over 300 billion barrels beneath the ground. Enough to power China's navy, Russia's tanks, and Iran's missile program for decades. And they haven't just been pilfering the oil. They helped Maduro strangle his own people while they looted gold, diamonds, rare earth minerals, and every resource needed to fuel their global ambitions, all while conspiring against America. Beijing has sunk its claws in with $60 billion of debt traps. Moscow has military advisors and mercenaries with boots on the ground, and Iran is the worst of them all. They've turned Venezuela into a narco-terror hellhole, supplying drones, missile fuel, and running Hezbollah operations right out of Caracas, where they are plotting attacks on Americans right here and right now. And you want to whine that Trump seized Maduro? The same Maduro with a $25 million bounty put on his head by Joe Biden? You want to complain about a military operation that was shorter than the last rom-com you watched, but never said a peep about Obama's 500-plus drone strikes? We didn't just grab a drug lord. We struck a blow straight through the heart of our enemy's catastrophic plans. We revived America's two-centuries-old Monroe Doctrine, and we shut down the fantasy of a hemispheric staging ground. We sent a message to Putin, Xi, Khamenei, and every authoritarian who dares play in our backyard. We pulled the plug on their plan to fund global jihad, fuel expansionist wars, and attack America from within arm's reach. You can hate Trump all you want, but when you start siding with a terror-supporting, cartel-funding, dictator cooperating with our worst enemies, you're not opposing Trump anymore. You're opposing America.
30 minutes. Now think about that. For 25 years, the regime that looked like an iron fortress, Chavez built it, Maduro locked it down, and for a quarter of a century, the world called it untouchable. Then in the dark of the night on Friday, the United States military walks in and ends the whole thing in less time than it takes to watch a Netflix sitcom. Now the world's cheering. Venezuela has its future back, and America has this historic victory, which is phenomenal. But as the smoke begins to clear, you have to ask yourself, could this possibly be that we just witnessed something even bigger than a raid? Now, I want you to think about the context for a moment, because just in October, Donald Trump sat in front of the press and told the world Maduro reached out to him. He said he offered everything. He said the guy doesn't want to F around with the U.S. Now, in another world, that's a headline, but in Trump's world, that's a spoiler for the season finale. Is it possible that the deal was already signed, sealed, and delivered months ago? Because here's the reality. A man like Maduro, a man who knows every single Mexican cartel and Colombian cartel drug route, every Chinese fentanyl shipment, and every terrorist contact in the hemisphere, he cannot just walk away with the suitcase in his hand. If he surrenders at an airport, his own generals are going to put a bullet in his head before he clears the tarmac. He needed a legend. He needed a story that said he was overwhelmed by an empire. Not that he sold out his partners for a safe house and witness protection. But the tales are really everywhere. Now, if you look at the history of these types of extractions, the U.S. took out Saddam Hussein from a hole in the ground. Did they take his wife with them? When SEAL Team 6 took out Osama bin Laden, did they extract his wives with him to face a U.S. court? Then when El Chapo was captured, his wife was nowhere to be found. But yesterday, they extracted Maduro's wife, Celia Flores, right beside him. And you don't bring a wife on a high-stakes surgical strike unless the wife is a closing cost to a negotiation. That's not a capture. That could be seen as an evacuation. Now, General Raisin Kane tells us that they arrived with massive blowtorches ready to cut through steel in the safe rooms. They were prepared essentially for a siege. But the moment the doors opened, they didn't even need the torches. Kane said the targets came out and were compelled to surrender almost instantly. Now, does that sound like a man who was fighting to the death like Maduro said he was going to do, or a man who was basically waiting for his ride? And then there's Maduro's son, who was named in the indictment. Nicolasito, or who's considered to be the prince, right? He's at large. He's missing. Could it be the perfect narrative cover, a public manhunt to keep the world's eyes busy? Well, the kid is quietly moved through a back channel to join his parents in the ultimate witness protection program. Now, we may never know the truth behind the curtain, but whether those doors were forced or left unlocked, the result is an absolute masterpiece. The people of Venezuela are free. The U.S. just secured the intelligence goldmine of the century. And when the lights of Caracas on Friday night went out, the doors opened without a fight. But could it be that the man who wrote the book just gave the world a masterclass in the art of the deal?
European nations have started preparing for war, and you can't miss this. The Secretary General of NATO has announced that we must all prepare for a war, which our grandparents and great-grandparents endured. Essentially, what they're trying to say is that a world war-type situation can happen this year. In fact, not just him. The General of France has said that the country must accept and come to terms with the fact that they will be losing a lot of their children to war this year. Not just that. If you look at what has happened over the past 2 months, a number of European countries, think Sweden, France, Germany, have sent out notices to their people saying every civilian above the age of 18, in some cases between 18 to 25, will have to participate mandatorily as part of military and serve in it. Not just that, you know, Sweden, Lithuania, Poland have been sending out documents to their own citizens saying what all they need to stock up on in terms of bottled water, ropes, batteries, because in case a war breaks out, they should all be prepared. You know, Sweden, in fact, has sent out a 32-pager to its people on how to prepare for a war and how to safeguard themselves. And they are not the only ones. And why is it coming to this point right now? Which is after, you know, the US has attacked Venezuela. Now, people are predicting that they will soon go after Cuba, Colombia, and even Greenland. Now, if this happens, it's not just the US. You know, people's trust in the United Nations has collapsed. And a number of countries have now realized that if they had enemies in neighboring states, they can all now start attacking them and going after land that is disputed. You know, something that Russia and Ukraine is doing. And again, now China is expected to go after Taiwan. Now, of course, we can't predict these things, But if it really so happens in 2026, there are certain things you must do to safeguard your assets no matter which part of the world you really are in. One, in such a case of uncertainty, there is a huge possibility that the stock markets may get extremely volatile, which means going up or down like crazy with absolutely no sense. And in such times, the price of gold rises even further. So if you thought that gold is already highly priced, I mean, no one knows, but it could go much, much higher. And then, of course, then a lot of people start stocking up cash at home, which is also not the right approach, because what really happens is, in case your country goes to war, there is heavy inflation in those years and the value of cash goes down. Which means, ideally, everyone should look at a very well-balanced and very safe portfolio, where this year should not be about how much return you really make on your principal, but about safeguarding your principal.
What would you assume is the most major threat on the world stage? Anybody, just call it out. You don't have to raise your hand.
Definitely Russia.
Definitely Russia. That's confident. I like it. Who says Russia? Anybody agree with her? Hands? Okay. Great. Who else?
China.
Stop yelling at me, but China is a good answer. Anybody? Venezuela? Anybody? No? Oh, yeah. One guy in the back. A little worried about Venezuela. Everybody's cool with Venezuela? No threat? Okay. Let me ask you this. Which one of these places can claim to have the largest oil deposit on the planet? More than Saudi? More than Iran? Wow. Okay, what about things like gold? More than all the mines in Africa combined? The fact is that Venezuela is arguably the single greatest resource of oil and minerals on the planet. So, why is this country in the midst of one of the greatest humanitarian crises in modern history? Let's meet President Nicolas Reyes. After rising to power on a wave of nationalist pride, in a mere 6 years, this guy has crippled the national economy by half. He has raised the poverty rate by almost 400%. Luckily for the rest of us, he's up for re-election. So, who's running against him? This is Gloria Benalde. Now, Gloria is a history professor turned activist. She's running against him on a social justice platform and on the strength of, in my humble opinion, just not being an Analyst predictions, as of today, have the chances of Venezuela's total economic collapse at 87%. On the news, they'll call it a crisis. But on the world stage, they'll call it a failed state. If you've never heard that term, other examples of a failed state in recent history are Yemen, Iraq, and Syria. And if that's not bad enough news for you, well, Venezuela is also the only one of these places within 30-minute range from the U.S., next-gen nuclear missiles. You will not hear about any of this on the news because the biggest players on the world stage do not want you to. To them, unstable governments are nothing more than the greatest of opportunities. So, Russia, China can never be the most major threat until countries like Venezuela leave the door open to our very own backyard.
Next is the Mandami Files, the first one from Blue Georgia / Daily Money Matters, the second from MSNBC / Cozy Wellness, the third from Almost Cool Mom, and the last one from At My Best 1197.
Bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A, yeah.
Kids don't like capitalism. And I think a lot of it has to do with social media, the clickbait, right? Rage bait works better in social media and gets more people's attention. And if Mandami is out there saying, you're getting free housing, you're getting free transportation, you're getting cheaper groceries, I mean, of course, that's what they need, particularly in New York, and that's what they're going to respond positively to.
Is there any way that can work?
No. No, of course not.
No.
Problem in America is affecting the politics in America, which is that if you don't understand that if you actually decide that you think rent stabilization is going to somehow increase the supply of apartments and homing and homes in the country, you've got it completely backwards. Because what happens is the developers say, well, if they're going to stabilize the rent in this town, we don't really want to be developing in this town, in which case there's not going to be enough supply, in which case it's going to cost more to rent your apartment. That's just the way it is. And unless people understand that, when a politician stands up and says, excuse me, I'm over here and I'm very happy to give you rent stabilization and the free groceries and this and that, and then it doesn't happen, I think people are going to be in for a surprise.
Yeah.
Hey folks, here's the story about Mondami the Mocha.
How do you bring these wealthy residents to the table as mayor? Stop them from saying they're leaving, going to Florida. Because we need that tax revenue to pay for some of the things you're talking about. Absolutely. How do you pay for it if they're gone?
My vision is not one where they leave. It is one where they stay. It is
How
one
do you get them to stay?
In part by showing them that asking them to pay more in taxes would increase even their quality of life.
We came here to remake this state in the image of our people.
The image of our people. Our people.
We came here to remake this state in the image of our people.
The image of our people. Our people.
I want you guys to check this out.
Starting on day one, we will expand the city's special enforcement programs, doubling fines for hazardous violations and tripling them for conditions that are immediately dangerous. And when a really bad landlord, like this guy, refuses to fix
it,
the city's going to step in, make the repairs, and send them
the bill. Okay, watch next.
If that doesn't work, the city's taking over the building. We're putting the worst landlords out of business.
He says, we're going to take over the building.
So it's theirs. It's the city's.
So you mean like seize the means of production like communists?
Wait a minute.
So he's saying the quiet part out loud.
Yes.
And people voted for
it. That's right.
So let me get this straight. Zoran Mandani, the new mayor of New York City, is threatening to take properties from slumlords, yet the city is the worst landlord in New York City. So Zoran Mandani gets on camera threatening private landlords, or what he calls slumlords, that if they don't do the necessary repairs or start to do the maintenance in their properties, that the city is going to come in, take over, and do the necessary repairs? Sounds good on camera, sounds good on paper, but here's where his logic falls apart. The city has already been proven to be the worst landlord in New York City already. So let me give you all some real facts. NYCHA, the New York City Housing Authority, that's public housing, that's city-owned. And those same buildings have lead paint, black mold, busted elevators, rats, roaches, heat outages every winter, and hallways that smell like piss. And it's been that way for decades. This city has a proven track record of neglecting its own residents, people who depend on them for a safe home. And now they want to convince the public that they are qualified to take over private properties and do a better job? Come on, people. Make that make sense. The same city that's under federal investigation for mismanaging housing funds. The same city that can't complete basic repairs on time is now talking about confiscating, essentially stealing from private landlords so that they could do a better job? Now, here's the contradiction. The private sector gets dragged for being slumlords, but the public sector has been running slums for generations. Yo, Zoran Mandani, if you want to prove something, start by fixing those projects. Fix your own properties first, the ones that you are now responsible for, before you start worrying about others. Because the truth is, if the city can't maintain what they already own, they sure hell ain't gonna be doing better in the private sector. I'm just asking the question that everybody else seems to be afraid to ask. How can the city and their new mayor call out slumlords, yet the city is the biggest slumlord in the game?
Next up, a triple shot from JF Radio Show, New York Post News, and It's All Politics.
Mandami has a tenant director. This is unbelievable. It's a person we heard from yesterday of the housing director. Now we're hearing from the tenant director, who says rent control alters the power dynamic between renters and who owns the building.
Democratically controlled public housing is really important. And that's why when Raquel was talking about the communities and that she's describing, that, you know, that's a created community where the people who are living there are like setting the agenda. And so, you know, people like homeownership because they like control, and that's been perverted by like deep racism and deep classism in our society. So like, we have to not have a racist and classist society. And so that's like something we need to think about like deeply. But, you know, we, It's about, to me, it's about control. And why rent control is really important is because rent control alters the dynamic, the power dynamic between renters and who owns the building.
If you own a building and you're renting it out, you're now a racist. Home ownership, land ownership, building ownership is now racism, and they want to change and make it non-racism and fair by giving it to somebody that wants it for nothing. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. If you own property in New York City today, you are so screwed. If you're renting a business office, get out. If you own it, you can't get out. You can't sell it. You can't rent it. They're going to set the rates. They are going to, the next thing they're going to do is set commercial rates, home and commercial rates. She basically said there, if you're a property owner in New York City, you are a racist. What does that have to do with race? You work hard, you buy something, now you're racist. And she says, we have to change that. This is pure Marxism, Stalinism, communism, Engels. This is right in your face.
This is bananas.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat.
Remember Sia Weaver? Or maybe your name's Say. I don't know. It's spelled C-E-A. Well, we talked about her yesterday on the show, and she is Zohran Mamdani's new tenant director. Funny thing about her is that she wants to seize your private property. She has said in the past that owning a home is a weapon of white supremacy. She says things like that all the time. The irony that has recently come out in a New York Post article is that, well, her mother and her mother's partner have a $1.6 million home in Nashville. Why doesn't she give her mother's private property to the people? How about make that beautiful home in Tennessee a collective good? How about offer it up to the immigrants who need a place to stay because they're being kicked out of New York City and Minnesota? Send them down to Nashville. I bet your mommy and her partner would love to house immigrants, would love to maybe even sell their house for the collective good. Because $1.6 million could go a really long way for poor people. That could help a single working mom make it through many, many more years. Actually, how about just give the single working mom the house? Because it's a collective good. Let's give it to people who need it. Don't be greedy. I don't know what her mom did. She's probably some capitalist bigot who earned all that money herself and then spent it herself on her own house. The nerve to work hard, earn money, and then waste it on a $1.6 million abode. What a POS. Hate her. So make it a collective good. Tell Mom. Let's see what she thinks.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Mayor Zohran Mamdani's new tenant protection director, C. Weaver, burst into tears outside her Brooklyn apartment. Reporters asked about her mother's $1.6 million home in gentrifying Nashville. Weaver once called homeownership a weapon of white supremacy and denied any good gentrifiers exist. She organized against gentrification in Crown Heights while living there herself. Now facing backlash over family wealth, she fled inside without answering.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Put your lighters in the air, everybody say yeah!
We're gonna run a little bit over tonight, folks, but I can do that on these platforms. Here's the double shot about Erica Kirk by Shots by Matta with Real Ron Cena in the middle.
Oh, she ain't hard to get, the girl gets around. Those that she met, they're destined to drown. She make a change like you never believe. She turn a working man to a thief. Oh, she's Erica, 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 Erica. She's Erica.
So the video you're about to watch is of Erica Kirk and an ex-CIA director, an NSA director, and intelligence agencies, and they're all working together to create this propaganda Project Blue Beam Area 51 shit. We're talking about covert operations, not your average puppet or average child from some random person who's going to end up in a film or a documentary with the CIA and our intelligence agencies trying to push some type of fifth-generation warfare psyop, would they? I want to give a big shout-out to Hustle for putting this video on the radar. Now, how the last couple months, you know, a lot of people have been tagging people like Ryan Maddock, Candace Owens, and Ian Carroll for calling out the fact that, you know, something just wasn't right about Erica Kirk. I don't know what it was. It was demonic. It was evil. You couldn't really put your finger on it, but something just wasn't right with this one. Something didn't sit right with how she was asked about the questions about her husband, about her child's birth dates, about the where she met Charlie, how that went down, and why she was a much older woman so attracted to somebody so much younger than her. Normally women date older men, right? But maybe it was just an anomaly. Maybe Charlie Kirk was just the Man of Steel, and there was just something more to this story. Weird how she just feels like an intelligence agency construct. Everything about her seems fake. Everything about their relationship seemed fake. Everything about how they met seemed fake. Everything about their love story seems fake. And everything about how she's responding since her husband had her head blown off on live TV in front of the world to see, and she's not, or Turning Point is not, asking any questions about the entire operation and how it went down. Something just doesn't sit right. Well, I'll check this video out.
We have five major threats that make our grid extremely vulnerable that we've presented to congressional officials. One being cyber, two being hackers, three being physical threats, fourth one is solar EMP, and the fifth one is man-made EMP. So the concern that we have is that we put out this critical information, and when we go over this risk analysis, they hear what we're saying, but they don't want to take action.
Well, there are 18 critical infrastructures in the United States, food, water, transportation, communications, etc. All 17 of the others depend on electricity.
If our grid goes down, you can't cook, you're not going to heat anything, you can't run any of your medical supplies, you can't talk on your phone, you can't take money out of a bank, and we turn into total chaos.
If this happens, the system stops.
If a transformer is taken down, we have to order it from Germany or China. It's going to take a year.
Up till recently, there were no comprehensive protective solutions available.
We know what the solutions are. They're not expensive. They're not difficult to employ. We just need the political will to do it and the follow-through on the part of the electric utilities to get it done.
The White House is protected from an EMP. The Congress and the CIA and the NSA, all of the areas that need to...
And what about if they shut down the grocery stores and we have to hunt for our own food? Okay, I don't know where little Debbie lives. Okay? Does she live next to the Muffin Man? You know what I'm saying? Is she in the forest with them twin sisters and brother?
All right, so I don't think one video was enough on Erica Kirk because I can't quite wrap my head around this. We're talking about like Project Bluebeam, CIA, black books, off-grid, black op operations. We're talking about like not on a short time frame. Like when you're going to push like the EMP narrative and that PSYOP and you're going to basically force Congress to sign bills where your mother is going to benefit from the defense contracts. Like, I wonder what type of contracts Erica Kirk's mother has with our government that involve getting our Department of Defense or Department of War ready for EMP-style attacks. Now, if you're the one who's controlling this type of infrastructure and your business model revolves around that type, specific type of attack, and then you have somebody like their daughter going and creating CIA-level propaganda videos to basically intimidate and to scare and to stoke the public outrage that our government and our military isn't prepared to defend us against these EMP-level attacks. I mean, this is high-level CIA operations where your mother, a normal citizen, has military contracts, defense contracts with military contractors, and you're over here creating these PSYOP off-grid black op operation videos, these propaganda tools for our State Department and our Department of Defense to use it with Congress to basically blackmail them into giving you money and passing bills and writing legislation that's pro-war and pro-your business. So your family is going to get filthy rich in the process of receiving these contracts. And you look at somebody like that and you go, okay, from a military standpoint, you got to protect our country. Left, first, right, doesn't really matter. Your military, your job, no matter who's in office, is to protect the homeland and protect the American people. Some people's policies might be better than others. Some people might be complete criminals and crooks and just trying to line their own pockets and not get in trouble doing it. But if you're the military and you see something like Turning Point and this thing that Charlie Kirk built, and you realize that it's the most powerful political weapon ever created, it has the ability to make and break presidents of the United States, which is going to dictate how much money that your defense budget receives over X amount of years, or, you know, the next at least 4 year period. That's a big deal. So all of a sudden you have a man like Charlie Kirk who's anti-war. You're not going to bribe him, blackmail him, or you're not going to basically, you know, catch him in a position where you're going to be able to, you know, plant child porn on his computer or slide a little kid in. You know, Charlie Kirk's not the type to frown on his wife, right? He was a family man. He was like your ideal candidate to run for president. He was the man who could have saved America and could have dismantled this entire war machine. What you think? I'm not saying anything in this video as a fact. I'm just saying this is just my opinion. We're so allowed to have these things called our First Amendment, right? Just my opinion. Nothing said in this video as fact. Don't take any of it seriously. This is just the Perry account. I'm just talking comedian dude at the trailer park in a foul mouth. We out. Peace.
So having said that, I want to give a shout out to my wonderful friend that has created this website for me, and I am confident can help you as well with all of your endeavors. Are you a real estate agent or a content creator who feels like you're just throwing spaghetti at the wall with your marketing? You're an expert in your field. You shouldn't have to be an expert in algorithms too. Stop guessing and start growing. V. Smith Media takes the mystery out of your digital footprint. They don't do one size fits all. They have specific consulting packages designed just for your industry. Whether you're selling houses or running an online store or creating courses, webinars, podcasts, and books. Pick the package that fits your goals. Visit vsmithmedia.com to get you sorted. So tonight's show is focused mostly on politics, but I did want to take a minute and play this video from Misfit Mama regarding the victim in Minnesota's wife. Check this out.
Turns out that the mom shot by the ICE agent is not an upstanding citizen after all. Not even close.
Hey, just a little tidbit about the left's new hero. Yeah, she only has custody of one of her kids. And the reason she only has custody of one is that her domestic partner, a woman, yeah, she likes to beat it out of kids and put cigarettes out on their arm. And she chose that woman over her kids. Yeah, the court was basically like, hold on, if you're going to stay with her, you don't get to keep the kids. And she was like, yeah, that's fine. So when people were asking, why was this mother not at home taking care of her children? It's because her children were taken away from her. Because her partner likes to beat it out of them and use their arms as ashtrays. It's amazing to me that every hero of the left turns out to be an awful human being. Like, that's not surprising, but it's the reality. Because anybody that would believe in the ideology that the left believes, anybody that would take action and try to run over a federal agent, I could assume that they were an idiotic piece. But I have to say that the level of choosing your partner over your children, of staying with someone who likes to beat that out of your kids, that's a new level.
Well, just when I thought I was done with the heavy clippies for the night, Dr. Devin Is Here came across my feed talking about how Russia, Putin, has evacuated his people from Israel. And of course, he's got his spin on why we took Venezuela. But the Russia thing, I thought maybe you might want to hear about this. So I'm going to go ahead and play it.
While everybody was distracted with Venezuela and the ICE murders, Putin did an emergency evacuation out of Israel. Yes, you heard that correct. Putin pulled all of his people out of Israel. Putin is a very smart man, and he's been playing this game for a very long time. He knows what he's doing. And if Putin decides to pull his Russian people out of an area and to do it that fast, that tells us something big is about to happen. Now, there is a lot behind the curtain, guys, and we already are in World War III. It's already started, but it started as a currency war. Now, Russia is involved in BRICS, and in case you guys are unaware, BRICS is a group of countries that aren't using the US dollar to do trade, which is the biggest threat to the Rothschild banking system. Now, why is the Rothschilds relevant? Well, they created Israel. Now, some people claim that the Rothschilds are behind BRICS, but I've never found a shred of evidence to actually back that up. But anyways, this war has been fought by trying to collapse the US dollar. Now, for a long time, the US dollar has not been backed by gold because we abolished the Federal Reserve. But one of the main things that have supported the US dollar was the use of it in foreign trade, specifically oil. It gets pretty complicated, but in short, oil has been what's been keeping the US dollar afloat. And Saudi Arabia has been one of the main components behind this. And now that Saudi is joining BRICS or heavily considering it and no longer wanting to use the US dollar, it makes it to where America is just losing, which is making us pretty desperate, which is why we did what we did in Venezuela. We needed the fuel to be able to back our currency. That's all stuff you guys can look into, spend some time, do some research. It's important to be informed. But what I'm trying to tell you guys with all this, with Russia pulling out of Israel, war is about to happen. Something nasty is right around the corner, and Putin knows what it is, and they're not telling the public.
Also, China evacuated all their people out of Afghanistan, and we have a base there. And the last time Russians pulled their people out of a country was Venezuela, right before we hit that. I don't know about you guys, but since I didn't have my snacky snack earlier, I'm hungry. Here's David87DP.
I purposely didn't buy snacks to avoid snacking at night. But now it's night and I have no snacks. This was a mistake. I thought I was being disciplined, that future me would be proud. Turns out future me is furious. Okay, because now it's late, I'm settled, the vibe is right, and there's nothing to eat. Okay, I keep opening the fridge like something new might appear. You know, it won't. I planned this misery. I'll stare at ingredients like they're options. They're not. I'm not cooking at night. That's insane. Okay, there's bread, but no desire. Cheese, but no motivation. Nothing makes sense by itself. So, you know, I'll start doing snack math. Okay, if I combine this with that, no, that's not a meal. Okay, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't work all day just to suffer this way at night. This is when you realize snacks aren't about hunger. They're about comfort. Okay, and I just took that away from myself. So now I'm laying here, slightly hungry, slightly angry, fully betrayed by my own decisions. If you're thinking of being responsible at the grocery store, don't. Okay, night you deserve snacks. We go through enough as is.
Well, at least I have my coffee, and I do have some apple cider donuts I made for the holidays in the freezer yet, but just not feeling it. I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. I know that it was pretty heavy. We didn't have our usual segments in there, but we'll get back on track next week. There was just a lot to cover that I felt was important. And for those of you that have asked me for years, and I've been telling you for years to prepare, and some of you have even asked me again recently, is it time yet? And I've told you it's past time. Yeah, you might want to get on the stick with that, right? So having said that, take care of yourselves and each other. Let's not let fear rule us. Let's go by prayer and discernment. Please remember to like and share my shows and join the Trim Radio Creators Network, where you'll find amazing shows like Peter Kling's Revelation Thursday nights, 9 Eastern Standard, and my buddy Rascala's on Saturday at 9, the Red Pill Reality Show. In fact, that's why I'm a little bit hoarse tonight. I was a guest on his show last night, Saturday, and I was yelling a bit. So, and have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Good night. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you.